July 18th, 2016, Metro Access Subcommittee.
Mary Kay McMahon, Washington, D.C.
Here, hopefully, Mother Zell, Washington, D.C. Chris Blake, Metro.
Will Shell from PG.
Suzanne Campbell from Arlington, Virginia.
And Mike, for the people in the audience. All right, that's okay. So right now, reviewing the agenda and minutes prior to the meeting, any additional changes to the minutes from last month's meeting? And
move we accept the minutes as written.
Thank you. All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays? Abstentions? The motion carries. Now, I do reference this, review the agenda. This is a one-hour meeting because there is a member orientation after, starting at 6 o'clock, so everything must end within an hour. So my proposal for this agenda, hearing from the committee members, is we already went through the Abilities Rights final recommendations. I'm going to read the final letter and two open to changes that were made, so everyone hears that. Then, the Metro Access Performance Report, I would like to table that because of the discussion everyone wants to have about DC transport. It's going to take a good amount of time. Not everything has to be done in an hour, and still have time for public comment period. Is everyone in agreement with that?
Mr. Chair, I'm in agreement with that, and I'd just like to add one thing for the minutes, that when we get the Metro Access Performance Report, I would like them to focus specifically on what has happened with Metro Access during the smart track work that's been going on. So it would be nice to get the data of increase or decrease use of Metro Access in the regions that were undergoing smart track. And that's a request for the, we were actually, Mr. Haver. To give us those numbers, because that's going to be very interesting. Because right now we're getting year-to-date data, we're getting comparative data, but there's some major issues going on right now with Fast Track. It'd be really good to know.
If we can possibly get some of that data, we're not being honest in September, we can do that, but for right now, so again, we're modifying the agenda. We already did most of the abilities right, so I'm just going to read the final letter and what two major changes were made to it. It's already been approved, that went to the board report, and then we're going to go into the discussion about DC transport and the public comment period.
Move we accept the agenda as proposed by the chair.
As amended. Do I get a second?
Second.
All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays? Abstentions? The motion carries. And Bill, yes, with the abilities rights, to answer your question from the previous meeting, it was in the main minutes that there was a discussion by AAC members, and they did put forth, I'm looking at it right now, that we form an opinion in terms of our make a recommendation to the GM about what we would like to see.
But my question, my hand was raised actually to ask you about the agenda, which you could not put, and I played the role of that. It's unclear to me. You're going to reread the letter that was approved last week.
Yeah, two major request changes.
But I had rather thought that the ability for our final recommendations were going to be spoken to by staff. And the letter that was approved last week, at least I did not know this, did not reflect staff's recommendations, but it reflected the committee's, the full committee's.
Yeah, per what was discussed in main minutes, that's what
we're talking about. But I'm wondering, on today's agenda, is staff going to present to the committee, the Metro Access Subcommittee, its final recommendation?
No.
No, sir.
No.
When will that occur?
When the RFP is released.
and not before.
Correct.
So then, other than the letter which was approved last week, maybe with some changes, and I would like a hard copy of those changes, there's going to be no opportunity for either the subcommittee or the full committee to comment on the final recommendations until the RFP is actually issued?
I think you're commenting, and I made some comments last week, and I'll reiterate them this week, but if you're saying, Ken, are you going to see the final plan, or am I going to lay out the final plan prior to the RFP? The answer is no.
Well, I'm not on the committee or the subcommittee. I would think members of the subcommittee and the full committee should take umbrage at that, since previously it had been suggested by the board, or by staff, that they were, if not presenting the RFP itself to the committee, was going to present a presentation of what was contained in the RFP to the committee, so the committee would have the opportunity to comment what it had received staff's final recommendation. If you guys are not upset, I'll be upset for you, but you shouldn't be upset.
Right now, there is another, that we, yes, we meant the agenda, but I was just told we have a Michael Wilson recipient, even though that was put on the agenda, so we actually have to do that because everyone's here. So, reasonably, when the track gets done within an hour, we're going to go ahead with that first, and then I'm going to do the read of the probability price level for two additions. So, let's go with the Michael Wilson presentation. Is staff ready to do that?
Good afternoon. Let me start by saying I'm very excited to honor Mr. Larry Tillman Sr. today. Not just for his physical performance, but every time I brought the operator's name up in the entire operation, I received nothing but amazing feedback. Mr. Tillman Sr. has completed well over 4,000 trips, maintaining stellar on-time performance of 98% with excellent attendance since his tenure. Also, he's accumulated an outstanding 33 customer accommodations for providing exemplary customer service. This operator is well known for being respectful, compassionate, and having impeccable attention to detail. Serving as a positive role model for all operators, he's offered the highest level of excellence and commitment to the Metro Access family. Mr. Tillman is an enormous asset to Diamond Transportation, and it is a pleasure to recognize him for his contribution to Metro Access service. Mr. Tillman, we appreciate all that you do, and we hope that you continue setting an example for operators out there and offering excellent service to our customers. So thank you so much. About using
vendors who are, home-based. So I will point those out as I reread this letter. So this is from July 18th, 2016. Dear Chair Evans and members of the board, the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority Metro serves as the region's premier brand paratransit provider Metro Access. In keeping with the intent of the Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA, for paratransit services, such services function as a safety net for people with disabilities who are unable to mainstream the fixed route system for all or some of their travel needs. Metro is pursuing the development of a new alternative service for customers eligible for Metro Access with the use of transportation network companies, TNCs, in parentheses, no disabilities ride. The Accessibility Advisory Committee and AAC believes in safe, accessible, and sustainable public transportation for all customers, including those with disabilities. The AAC supports Metro's objectives to sustain the Metro Access service. The AAC has reviewed and discussed the ability to ride proposal and makes the following recommendations related to accessibility, reliability, and safety. First major points, communication. The proposal serves to use the use of web-based applications for making reservations. Many customers with disabilities and seniors encounter barriers with cellular technology and computers. Some customers do not have access to the technology, while those that have it are limited in their use of automation. Additionally, some customers with disabilities cannot navigate web-based applications due to the limitations of their disability. The AAC believes that accessibility to all would require reservations to be made in means that do not require any cellular or computer technology only. Therefore, AAC recommends the proposal include a telephone option with their reservations. Second point is commuter patterns. The proposal lists a daily limit for the number of trips that can be taken for travel. Trip limits are not conducive to how people travel today. People with disabilities are interested in having the same level of access and quality of life as their non-disabled peers. A limit on trips would diminish that option. The AAC recommends that there be no restrictions on travel or trip purpose. Next major point is fleet accommodations. The proposal does not require the TNC to have a comparable fleet of accessible vehicles. It only requires that there be a small number of accessible vehicles. As the population ages, accessible vehicles are critical for customers with mobility devices to travel safely, with or without security. The AAC agrees with Metro's position to incentivize providers to increase the availability of wheelchair accessible vehicles to improve a provider's chances of getting business. So the new piece added in by Karen Bell makes this following sentence. Additionally, the AAC is a proponent of local business and encourages Metro to open the process to qualify local small independent contractors, many who have served the disability community with excellence and respect. So that's the new sentence inserted in under that point. The AAC recommends that at the time the contract is established, that service would be equivalent to the taxi service supporting Metro Access. Cost and payments is the next major area. The fixed price for services is appealing to many customers. However, there does not appear to be equal access to payment. Currently, TNCs require a credit card for payment of services. Many customers with disabilities and seniors are unbanked and use cash as the only means of payment. The AAC recommends that Metro use a pay-in-car option, which affords equality of access for all customers. Additionally, many areas have public or private roadways for which a fee or toll is assessed for passage. The proposal is unclear as to how these kinds of fees will be paid. Last major point was safety. The proposal does not specify the safety and security standards for TNC providers. Other providers of alternative transportation options to paratransit service have standards that include security cameras, training for personnel, as well as the requirement of clean background checks and driving records. Additionally, some offer amenities such as door-to-door service. The AAC recommends that Metro standards and service amenities be extended to the ability rights proposal to ensure the safety of all customers using the service. The AAC appreciates the opportunity to share its recommendations on the ability to write proposals. Again, this is the new censor for endorses recommendations. The AAC is resolved that any alternative service offered by Metro must be fully compliant with the ADA. So that's the new censor. These recommendations will ensure that a high standard of service is available and usable by all customers. So that is the letter that, with approval, with these two major inputs by these two people put in and then submitted before the board. Signed by Patrick.
Do you have a motion to move this out?
It's already been moved at the last meeting with these two major corrections. So. All right. So it's done. I just wanted to make sure people understood what they were. All right. So that is done with that. So next, I guess we can move on with DC
transport.
And who would like to take to the for that discussion? You sent out the letter. You want to start off that discussion?
Okay. Well, we have to learn. Reading the letter that I sent out, I hope everyone read it, in our proposal that we just asked, we asked not that they have limited rides, and you can see that it has 14 months that they had it. It's just blown up, and so that is making note that we need to pay attention that we're asking for it not to have limited rides, but you might have to consider that after what has happened with DC, and we have to pay attention to the funding, but we also, I got that letter. I'm in Maryland. I didn't get the letter, but it was sent to me. The people that live in D.C., did you all get letters?
No.
No.
Believe it or not.
Okay. I'm trying to understand why all these two residents did not get a notice about that transport to D.C. Because anyone who has a Metro access, they're using it, and their number is in the system. So they should have been notified of the change. This is supposed to be July 22nd.
So I guess we can ask Mr. Blake or Mr. Kent about the process of that, these sort of changes, and answer Ms. Rush's question.
Good evening, Philippa, and members of the committee. How are you? Welcome back, Dr. Posner. Mr. Blake and I actually were going to flip a coin as to which one of us was going to answer this question. You know, it's a little delicate to talk about what the district chooses to do with its services and its policy because it's not a WMATA decision. What I can tell you is that we share something in common with the district, which is that when we have budgetary issues, we have to stop and reevaluate. I really think that's what's going on. I think the district knows that the service has been very popular with residents, and I think, you know, this is a moment in time where they are working with us right now. They realize that the upcoming financial task in front of WMATA is a very difficult one. And I think the message they sent out to the customers was, this is a very, very popular service. More people used it more often than they anticipated. So that created an issue with the budget. Now, the way I view this situation, and this is something where I think you all can be very helpful, is to talk about the bigger picture of how we view these services in the future, because the district and the other jurisdictions have right now most of their money going into Metro Access. And in the future, at least where the district is concerned right now, now they have two different services that they're looking at investing in. Now, you know, our view, obviously, is the same as yours, that if the public likes Transport DC, and it's a less costly way to help people get around, and it does what people need it to do, then it's a worthwhile investment. What I think the district, though, expected, and this is kind of what we said to them when we first put this pilot together, was it's not going to be financially burdensome on the district, because every time somebody uses Transport DC instead of Metro Access, that represents a savings. Well, what they did is they looked at that and said, okay, well, but if the level of Metro Access use is X, and the level of Transport DC use is 2X or 3X, then we kind of ran out of the savings. You know, we have people using the new service much more than they did the old one. And how many trips on Transport DC equals one trip on Metro Access? And eventually they start to do the math and say, okay, well, you know, if it's no longer a self-funded thing, there's nothing in the district budget that said we're going to start pouring money into Transport DC as if it were going to be, quote, the new Metro Access. That's not really the way it was set up. It was set up as a pilot with the understanding that it was going to be funded by savings for our service not being used as much. So I think what we really have to do, there are a few things that I see in front of us. And, you know, one of them is really to start asking some questions, maybe of the community, to say, when you did use Transport DC, you know, if you did use it more than you used Metro Access, you know, what was it that really was your strongest need? Because where we're headed now is looking at all the services that are available and trying to help the customer choose the service that best meets their needs for a particular trip. So if the customers start to say to us, for example, I use Transport DC more than I use Metro Access for medical purposes, that's going to tell us one thing. If they say, well, you know, Metro Access was okay for my medical trips, but I use Transport DC more often because of where the service took me, or I used it because it was a better economic advantage, or what have you, all of this information is very important because both the district and WMATA, and frankly the Medicaid broker in DC and some of the other providers out there, they all offer customers with disabilities different services at different, you know, in different ways. So I think we need some information on this, because that way when people, you know, are talking about budgetary, really at the end of the day what we want to do is we want to leverage the most that we can get out of each one of the services. And as long as customers are eligible for more than one, then they may want to use some combination of services. And then in the meantime, as this information goes back to the funding jurisdictions, it will help them make decisions on how much money that they allocate for each program. And, you know, this is, of course, me talking without having had any conversations with any of the officials. So I'm only giving you an opinion. But I think that the fact that the need is there is something that they already know. The thing that's not known and what's not being talked about is, you know, what is it that Transport DC did for the customer that caused so much more activity than what we've seen previously in Metro Access?
Number one, site-based service. Number two, sharing your ride and not having to go to Egypt by way of China. Those are two highlighted things. But what I'm concerned about is the same thing with you say that the district, we, it's not really connected with WMATA, or it's transportation that they're using alternative, the same thing we're looking at in Maryland. They get the clients' numbers ID numbers and names and addresses from WMATA, and then they provide this service. But then you say, well, it's not really WMATA, it's DC's decision not to send out the letters. Something about that's not connected with me.
In other words, I think our question focuses on communication about this.
Well, let me share this much, okay? Metro Access still has to be paid for while Transport DC is operating, okay? The decision about accepting all of the reservations that come in for Metro Access has already been made long ago. We're going to take every trip request that comes in, and that's permanent. That's Metro Access is here to stay. Now, the decision about the information coming out from the district about changes to Transport DC, I mean, it's technically their program. Mr. Blake, I don't know if you wanted to add something to that.
As you know, we went through this in Baltimore, and we're trying to prepare a building drive to avoid some of these challenges. And Carol Tyson was at the meeting. She heard me testify. I've said this in front of your city council here in D.C. Transport D.C. is an alternative to Metro Access. It's not a new personalized service. And I can say for the record, because it was on the record, our recommendation was not to make changes to the customer experience initially. Our recommendation was to focus on the providers. And what happened, in a sense of good spirit and the care of the customers, the cab companies have provided service that is way beyond what was intended for the service. And that generated a lot more ridership than was intended. And we're working with the district to figure that out. But in the meantime, the district has a fiscal year that ends in October. They're trying to preserve as much resources as possible for the remaining parts of this year to ensure that some service on Transport DC can continue. However, we're going to have to make some changes, bring some of the excess convenience back down. And once we do that, I think the budget crunch that the district is fighting this year with Transport DC and going in the future will go away. And that's what we're working with them to institute those type of changes that will ensure the sustainability of Transport DC as an option. But I just want the customers to be aware of same-day service. We believe in that, yes. No shared rides, we support that. But it cannot be a service that, just using a quick example, picks you up from home and literally has one driver taking you around everywhere all day long and counting those as individual trips. And that's something we found in the data, and that has to change. Right now, the rule doesn't expressly prohibit that, but we have to make changes so that this is an alternative to Metro Access, but not a personalized service.
Mr. Chair, if I could just add one more thing. I want to give you all just one more statement, a big picture. No one service is going to be able to meet all the need. That's the concern that I have, because when I came here, and you know, here he goes, all the history, but you know, I don't know what it is, I'm feeling the history. When I came here in 2005, there was this neat program called Arlington Star. Dr. Posner knows it well. And this was a time when Metro Access was having a lot of operational problems when I first got here. And people were coming up to me, and they, you know, the Arlington residents were coming up to me saying, you know, nanny boo-boo, Mr. Kent. We don't have to use your service. We're going to go over and we're going to get on Arlington Star because Metro Access is bleep-bleep-bleep. And, you know, they had a lot of things to say. And, you know, and they were, unfortunately, they were right. I mean, Metro Access was in a bad way back at that time. And Arlington Star was offering a lot more amenities than Metro was. So, I mean, it was very difficult to compete with. The lesson is that Arlington Star had some constraints on it. I mean, it was operating just in Arlington. It was a service that had certain parameters around who would use it and where it would be used. So Abilities Ride, we put this concept out and we tell everyone that we want to have a limitation on the number of trips. And the response is, well, if you limit the number of trips, you're not, you know, customers want more than that. Well, if we don't put any limitation on a lower cost alternative, of course people are going to use it. So the hard part is that there's one thing that I have in common with all of you on this committee. I'm not a patient person. And this is the issue. If we launch a new pilot and everybody likes it, we can't declare victory and say they found this new service and it's going to solve all the problems. What's going to happen is we're going to put a new service out, people are going to like it, and then we have to decide how many more of these new services do we need, not can this one service carry the burden of the entire region. It can't. So every time we find something that works, what we're asking the community to understand is that we have to implement these things incrementally. Because if we put something out there and we try to turn the dial all the way up and say, okay, well, this is working, so let's take as many people as we can, it burns through the budget before the policymakers have a chance to catch up and say, how can we budget for this going forward? Now, obviously, Transport DC is limited to the district. We have a whole bunch of riders in Maryland who are waiting for something. So, and Virginia as well. So, that's why I don't view this latest restriction on Transport DC as a showstopper, because it's happened with every other new thing that we've tried. Anytime you put something out there that has features like what Ms. Rush was talking about, i.e. things that are not typical of ADA paratransit, like advanced reservation or sharing a ride, people are going to run to that. We understand that. But in my view, we're not going to be able to meet the entire needs of this region with only Metro Access, or only Metro Access and Transport DC, and only Arlington Star. It's going to be a family of services in each of the jurisdictions. And thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, Philippa?
Again, the issue, one of the issues for me is either no communication or selective communication. If you're testifying before the council, then you're aware that there was some issue with the program, and why weren't we notified? And who was notified? Why do I have to get a letter that Denise gets from a friend or something, and then she shares it with the entire committee?
Well, I can tell you the part about the communication is because we went to a meeting a couple of Wednesdays ago where some ideas were shared and we thought they would be discussed a little more. But again, being a District of Columbia service and program, not a Metro service, we are coordinating with them. We don't make the final decisions on the Transport DC policies. I would just say in the end, the decision is made by the District of Columbia's Department for Hire Vehicles, and the chairman made the decision. And when you found it used to be called the Department of the Texas Commission, but now it's called the Department of for Hire Vehicles, which covers taxis, limousines, transport network companies, etc. So that's why. So the communication would not have come from Metro. The communication would have come from the District of Columbia to its residents.
All right, thank you. Charlie, followed by Chris.
Thank you. I just have a question that I'm not sure there's an answer to, but I think it needs to be raised. Is it possible that Transport DC and these other pilots, as you call them, could be funded not only through government money, but also through some sort of lottery, that the proceeds would go to that?
I have to say, Charlie, I hope so that there is openness to any reasonable funding mechanism. I'll tell you that it's a similar question to, couldn't we find another funding source for WMATA in general? You know, where could we get a dedicated funding source? I mean, you know, whether it's the lotto. I mean, when I used to work in New Jersey, they had casino funding that went to public transit, and it paid for a lot. But you know, each municipality kind of has its own way. But I mean, there's no reason why it couldn't happen. I think the issue here is who advocates for it. And when we're speaking with our WMATA hats on and we ask for money, the first thing that we're going to articulate to those who have money is repair the rail system, because that's our most acute need. If it's the disability community asking, or you know, if it's the District of Columbia asking, well, now you've got different voices. There are also grants out there that pay for these types of services as well. The World DC program that added accessible taxis to that community was originally funded by a grant through the Council of Governments. So, I mean, we're all supposed to be looking for any reasonable funding source.
All right, Marissa.
Do you remember when they were doing it with help, if the letter came from AEC to Transport DC, Mr. Gilmer, and other public programs that we put out that says, if you have a letter that needs to go out concerning services, we need to make sure that all constituencies get the letter or something to this effect, because it's ridiculous to me that if you are a Transport DC user and you renew it, that you didn't get the letter of the exchange. And I'm not blaming WMATA, because obviously WMATA doesn't make the final decision. I get it. With help at all for the agency to make a letter to Transport DC and then to all other pilot, whatever program that says, when you make changes, make sure that all constituencies that are using it get notified, because.
You know, Marissa's question is, should the AAC send the letter to the district on the subject? Obviously, you all are free to do that as you wish. One thing that I would recommend, though, is it's my understanding that Transport DC has a customer advisory group that is associated with it. I believe Ms. Case was a part of it, and I've a number of others that we know. I think it would be good to find out what their position is on this, since they work directly with this program. Because one of the things I can tell you, and I'm gathering from listening today, that the notice that went out was sudden to some people. I would tell you that it was something that, Mr. Blake is correct that WMATA doesn't speak on behalf of the jurisdictions. But the truth of the matter is that, apparently, I guess that meeting must have had some discussion about the budgetary challenges, but I can tell you that we didn't know that the action that they were going to take was going to happen that quickly. So I think, it's one of the things I can tell you that you all could taught me, is that if WMATA was going to make a change of any magnitude, that we would, obviously we'd be vetting it with you. And Mr. Chair, I believe Ms. Tyson had her hand up in the audience.
Yes, just to give her a question, I'm going to read.
Okay.
And while that being done, any other committee members with questions or concerns in this subject?
Sorry. I'm sorry, I just wanted to share there was an action.
Carol, you can have a microphone.
In this case, was
Allison's pitches.
What's going on there?
His business partner.
Hi, this is Carol Tyson. I just wanted to share that there was actually an action earlier today. Mayor Bowser spoke, and there were some transport DC users who were present with signs indicating their disappointment in the lack of communication and the very drastic cuts that are being have been announced and are being proposed. There was a one-page handout that was given out earlier today that, and Heidi's name is at the, Heidi Case's name is at the bottom for questions, so if it's okay with all of you, I'll make sure she knows that this was talked about and that she can pass it on to the chairs of the committee to share with all of you. And hopefully that would be helpful if you want to send out another letter. So.
All right, thank you, Ms. Rush.
Okay, so we they suggested the Transport DC, and now they're going to make changes. It's just going to be, they're going to have a change in the hours, and it's just medical to the hospitals, to pharmacies, and dialysis. So then you have the Maryland program that we're preparing to decide on. Whatever we decide on later on down the road, are they going to be able to change? And then you all say, well, we just, that's alternative. We're not responsible for the change that they make. Is this going to be repeated? That's what I'm trying to understand.
All right, you can't respond to this.
Well, I do have an answer to that question. Each jurisdiction wants to handle this issue differently. Maryland is quite happy with having WMATA handle it. The district wanted to do their own program. So the pilot that we plan to operate in Maryland called Abilities Ride is going to be managed by WMATA. So you'll be dealing directly with us on how that pilot is operated. And it's being drawn from the WMATA budget. So I think that it's going to be much less likely to change in that way because of the way it's going to be handled.
Yes, so I want to be able to watch you.
Yes, as you always have, Ms. Rush.
Yeah, I just want to be able with my blind eyes watching.
You will be able to do that to your heart's
content.
Absolutely.
Thank
and
you.
Mine as well.
One more question. Can we go with Phil and then back to you, Philip? I'm sorry.
One question I have is the Maryland program is going to be run by Metro. One of the great advantages of the DC program initially and the STAR program is it's not run by Metro. And it's not that Metro is inefficient, it's just Metro has a larger overhead, greater requirements under the ADA because they take federal money. And so will the Abilities Ride in Maryland, because it's being run by Metro, have to meet all of the standards that, not all the standards of safety and accessibility, but some of the other things that cause the overhead to be much higher at Metro than Metro has?
So the answer is no, and that's a very good question. And I can assure you, Phil, that I would not go to all this trouble to do it if it was going to be Metro Access 2.0. There is a purpose behind doing it this way. It is a non-ADA paratransit alternative service, which means that it is a voluntary participation, just like Transport DC is. And so the key for everybody to understand why this is different, why it doesn't have to cost as much as Metro Access, is because Metro Access is a civil right. Under the Americans with Disabilities Act, any customer who wants to use our paratransit service, because they are not able to use bus or rail all of the time or even part of the time, they have to be allowed to do that. That's a civil right. If Metro chooses to put out other services on their menu, and you say, hi, I'm eligible for Metro Access, but tomorrow I'm going to ride, or today actually, let me make Denise happy. Today I'm going to ride on Abilities Ride, same day service. I'm making a choice to do that. I have not given up my civil right to go back onto Metro Access an hour from now or at any other time. But I'm opting into, for this trip, I'm opting into this other service. So when you choose something other than ADA paratransit, then, you know, those programs can operate differently. And that's why what you're seeing, or what you will see in the Abilities Ride program when we put it out there, is that it's going to have the basic transportation priorities and features that you want, but it's not going to be a replica of Metro Access.
All right, thank you. So we have Philip, the next followed by Patrick.
I'm just curious if you know if the city is planning to fund this at the same level next fiscal year, or are they going to increase funding?
We don't know, but I'll tell you this much. You know, your voices matter. The fact that it was brought to the mayor's attention today matters. If a letter comes from this group, that also matters. You know, I think that the district has been proud of the service. I think they're happy that it worked. I don't think they're sorry that they put it out. I just think they want to make sure that they have the budget to keep it going. So, you know, I see only positives in everyone making the district aware of just how beneficial that you all thought the service has been.
And the funding issue irks me because all those parking tickets they give, they could fund anything they wanted, a spaceship if they wanted to.
Thank you, Patrick.
Have a final word. Thank you. This might be directed to Mr. Blank. Are there any lessons learned from mobility in Baltimore that we could apply to same day service here in Abilities Ride, or maybe what DC has gone through?
Well, in fact, what we tried to do is put a lot of those lessons into the plan already. That's what we're upfront was proposing, the limit on the number of trips daily. The Baltimore service, if you get two trips a day, one round trip. Here we're saying four. We did put a minimum fare in there, although there'll be probably likely promotions to encourage early users. But the minimum fare, we're restricting the service area to start, and mostly the limit on the number of trips on a daily basis. But one thing that is different, I'll tell you this, is that you're going to have far more options. Whether we had one contractor with a host of other providers or multiple contractors, as we announced last week, is likely to be the case. You're going to have far more options among your choices to what you're going to prefer than what began in Baltimore, even what they have today.
One more suggestion I'd make from STAR. That's not as good as Transport DC, but it's economically sustainable. And that is that it is next day scheduling, except for medical, or bus, or Amtrak, or airports where they have a will-call option. So that basically you make most of your reservations the day before. So it's not that much greater than the Metro Access, other than this one ride and you're not sharing it. But you have the great advantage of the places where you don't know when you need to be picked up, that you can have a will call option if it's for travel, a bus, or a train, or if you're at a medical. And since we started here with medical procedures, that's a real advantage, and it's financially more sustainable rather than being the best way to go. So the people in America can yell at me for suggesting that, but I'm trying to be financially sound.
Yeah, and you know, Mr. Chair, I agree with what Phil said, that would be a way, a reasonable way to constrain cost. But the only thing I want to add is that Abilities Ride is a little bit different from Transport DC in that we are trying to leverage a at work that is more pervasive in the community than just a couple of cab companies, as what Chris was saying about the idea that there are many more options. So Metro Access has generally stayed away from same-day service. You've stayed away from it, period, for a reason. And you know, there are a number of reasons. And you know, one of them is the fact that you know, we are we're not a taxi network, and we don't have vehicles just roaming that we can go pull that are nearby. It has to be choreographed because we don't have that. We're pulling out from a central location. It's not, that's why paratransit in general has allowed up to 14 days under the ADA for a reservation system, because that's the way the paratransit was originally designed. So this whole new concept about apps and these other companies, these transportation network companies coming on board, is that they have created a situation where you can get really point of service transportation that was not available in the past. And that's a new model that, that we're trying. The thing that I think we're trying to ask the community for is, you've asked us to get creative. You've asked us to find ways to serve the community better, and you're starting to see us try new things. And we're just simply asking for the fact that, you know, asking for a little bit of flexibility on everybody's part, because each new idea that works is one more that we're adding to the family. But as I said earlier, there's not any one of them that I think by itself is going to solve all the problems for the whole region. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
So what we would do is, I see your hand, Mary Kay. I'm going to start a question or comment period, but I'm going to put you as a customer and comment. I do want to start with the customers, so their voices do get heard. They do come down here, but I already have you on the long list after that problem. Come, they go for it. So first is Laverne Perry. So I'm going to give her a microphone to come up. So. So time should be up in 3 minutes.
Okay, got me on the clock.
Yes.
Okay, no problem. This is my first time at the meeting. I've had problems with Metro Access for a while. My granddaughter has been riding Metro Access for over 5 or 6 years. The problem I have is with dispatchers calling back, they're rude, you complain. One lady called the other day from one complaint. But what is the problem with them setting, I don't know how they set trips up. My granddaughter has to be at the little job she has now. She's been to school and everything. Quarter of nine. Quarter to seven, they're picking her up. She gets to Upper Marlboro. They have nobody else on the trip. She gets to Upper Marlboro Park and Planning Commission at 7:30. Well, the building only been open until 8. Then I called. I said, well, do they have another run they can add? I said, what should she do? I said, you can't just drop her off like she's a little dog and just provide, suppose it's raining or cold. Well, it's nothing that we can do about it, long as we get her there before 8:45. That's not acceptable. The building don't even open until 8 o'clock. So you're going to have my lady standing out there for half an hour to walk her, and then when I call, you giving me a hard time? I don't appreciate that. Another thing is, you have a half an hour window to pick her up. If she's not out there in 5 minutes, y'all ready to leave her. Oh, she's a no-show. Well, they're coming off of different floors, walkers, wheelchairs, and everything. Why do you have a half an hour, but she only had 5 minutes to get out there before you're ready to pull off and leave her? I don't appreciate that either. The drivers, they need more sensitive training. Some of them are rude. She'll ask them a question, and or ask, I said, well, get their name. No. The other day, she was on a bus. The bus driver left her tag or whatever identification. They told her to pull over to the side of the road and leave wait till another bus driver come. She didn't get to work till 9:45. Then when she said something to the guy about, well, what's going on? Well, I have nothing to do with it. You just need to be quiet. We're trying to get it transferred. You're not going to talk to my child like that. They need some more because they're not empathetic. They don't have no courtesy. Sometimes they pull up and won't even say good morning. And some of them are nice. Not all of them are like that. But I don't appreciate it. And they need to, just like if they're the only game in town, like she doesn't have any choice. I don't like it. I have a complaint and a complaint.
Thank you so much.
I hope they can do something about it. Because as right now, Metro Access is terrible.
Ms. Anderson, do you
want to
sign?
Yes, sir, Mr. Semaphore. Ms. Berry, thank you for coming down. I'm sorry that you had to take that particular initiative to come down here to spend your time with your granddaughter to voice concerns that it sounds like you've already been through the complaint process. And we have various people here that I would like to have talk with you personally so we can start to address your concerns and straighten out the service so that the service does work for your granddaughter. You mentioned a lot of things this evening, and I know personally I have a lot of questions that I had come up that I would like to ask you, but we will certainly work with you in order to get your service corrected. Thank you.
Thank you. Mary Kay?
My question is about the discussion of funding for some of these alternatives to Metro Access. At a previous meeting, I thought we had said that if it received government funding, that it had to be ADA compliant. Does that refer only to federal funding? And if these are funded by the municipalities, then that doesn't apply, or?
So we need to make a distinction. The ADA is a big piece of legislation. The ADA paratransit regulations are a subset of that. Okay. The color of the money that funds it is really not the issue. It has more to do with the level of service that is provided and who gets it. Okay, that's really what matters. The ADA paratransit service is given to people who are eligible for it. When the FTA comes and audits us, they look at that. They look at, okay, well, you know, how did you maintain your customer list? You know, does the service operate where Metro Bus and Metro Rail operates? Does it operate when bus and rail operate? That sort of thing. Can you get from A to B on Metro Access as fast as you could on bus and rail? And of course, obviously, you know, if rail is having problems, well, we've discovered that actually, that paratransit often is faster than sometimes some of the other modes. But there's a whole set of criteria that they look at. Right now, Metro Access is paid for by local money. It's not paid for by federal funds. The only federal dollars that are involved right now in Metro Access are the monies that we use to buy the vans themselves. So it's not really an issue of the funding source. It's just we're making a distinction between the two services to say that Metro Access is paratransit service defined by the ADA. And these other services are a kind of paratransit service that's not necessarily the same as the way paratransit service is described in the ADA, if that makes sense.
All right.
There's nothing simple about paratransit service, but that's how it's written.
All right. I guess that's it. B, you ready?
Thank you, Mr.
Chair, I just wanted to remind our members that we will not have a meeting of the AAC or its subcommittees or any work group during the month of August. So the next time, the committee will resume for any AAC work will be September. So please, everybody, remember that, mark your calendar. It's updated on all the materials and all the information listed, so just wanted to share.
Yes, we can certainly make sure that all are aware and put the IVR message up, and also to just keep an eye on any customer that might be looking at a trip down to the meeting to contact them to let them know why.
All right, thank you so much. I'm going to adjourn because this adjourns. We have another meeting with member orientation, so. All those in German, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nay, abstentions. Motion carries.